Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 220.
This week on the podcast, James Comey, a recent letter-writing aficionado, is desperate to be pen pals with Congress.
And the media is shocked by tightening polls despite a decades-long history of this very occurrence happening right before Election Day.
Despite what you've heard, there are a lot of things to vote on this week, and we will tell you about all of them.
And Trump's would-be attorney generals had a very bad week with the law. A window into Trump's America?
Plus, Trump aides take away his Twitter privileges only years too late.
And some legal advice on taking ballot selfies from two non-lawyers.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
Oh, you guys, it's almost over.
We're so close.
Oh my God.
First of all, before we begin, congratulations to the Cubs.
The Cubs won.
I hear
God.
From people that was a big deal.
It was a big deal. I can tell you as a non-baseball fan, it was a big deal just as a person who like vaguely cheered for the Cubs growing up because we had their AAA team. But that was Wednesday night, and that was when I had that.
Yep. You had your concert.
Choir concert performance, and I was frantically checking my phone, and I looked at it right before I went in, and it was 6-3, and it was in the seventh inning, and an hour and a half later, I come back out to my phone.
Still going on.
And it's 6-6, and it's in a rain delay in the 10th inning, and I almost threw my phone against the wall, because I was like, what the hell happened? This was over when I went in to go sing the Foire Requiem, and then now I'm enraged.
This was one of those games where I felt like I saw a lot of posts on Facebook about it.
Yeah.
I was checking into a hotel that night, and I heard at the hotel bar as I was checking in all this cheering, and it was like a big deal.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And then, like, hours later, it still wasn't resolved, and I was like, screw all of you guys.
I know, I'm
sick of this.
Yeah, exactly. You just wanted the game over as much as you wanted this damn election over.
Exactly.
Right.
But to put this in perspective, neither of my grandparents, who both lived into their late 80s, early 90s, lived in a world where the Cubs ever won the World Series.
Right?
That's crazy. That never happened in their lifetimes.
Yeah.
I'm
just glad that all of my coworkers who are from Chicago can now stop pissing and moaning about it. Like, I can't with you guys.
Yeah, because they're the maybe next year team, right? They're the official team of maybe next year.
Yeah.
Now it's over. They can get over themselves.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it's 2 days till the election. Before we begin, we should remind you to vote.
I know. We reminded you on Facebook earlier today.
Yeah, and we're going to remind you basically nonstop until Election Day because voting is the greatest.
So good.
I mean, we've said it many times.
I already did.
But here's some specific advice, which is figure out when you're going to vote and how you're going to vote beforehand.
Have a plan.
So that when the
parking
lot
and your polling
place is full.
Don't wake up on Tuesday morning and be like, oh, I'm late for work and there's a line that's an hour and a half.
Like,
and I can't come back over lunch because I have a meeting. And don't have that.
Have that problem.
Yeah.
Also, your boss is going to understand if you have to be late to vote.
Well, they fucking better.
Yeah. If your boss doesn't understand, tweet us their number. We'll give them a call.
Right. Exactly.
So, like, make sure that you think about ahead of time how you're going to get to the polls, where you're going to park.
Yes.
In California, a lot of the polling places don't have parking.
Yep.
That's
I think in a
obstacle.
Lot of states, Uber is taking you for free to your polling place.
There are,
so you could do that. There's ways. Do some research. You've got it the whole day. You've got it.
Especially in battleground states, there are services that are helping voters get to the polls. You can get there.
Right.
They may have a line that's too long. You have time to wait on it
because
that's your civic duty.
That's right.
So go to the polls. In a little while on this podcast, after we obsess a little bit about the presidential race, we will tell you all the other reasons that you should vote.
Yes.
Today I posted a very long-winded rant on Facebook about people telling third-party voters they shouldn't bother showing up as if there's nothing else on the ballot but the presidential race. That's not it. If you were going
to
vote third-party and someone told you, screw you, don't show up.
Buzz off. Right.
Tell them they can go screw themselves and vote for whoever you damn well please in the presidential race, and then make sure that you vote responsibly on the rest of the ballot.
Yeah, exactly.
That still matters.
Because as I said to you earlier today, I was like, you know what? A lot of people who go vote for Jill Stein are also going to vote for Russ Feingold.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean,
that's one anecdote.
That's
like.
One. Right. That's one of many of these. A lot of those people are going to vote for single payer in Colorado.
That's right.
They're going to vote for Prop 61 Prop 64 in California.
Do better when you're talking to third-party voters.
Exactly. And don't be mean to them. It's too late to change their minds, probably, and that's fine, because we still need them to show up.
Yeah.
In any case, let's begin with the drama of the week.
The drama of the week.
Which is that the FBI dramatic bombshell that was going to take down the Clinton campaign is basically over now.
Or as Anderson Cooper put it earlier today on CNN, another shoe dropped in an election that seemed like it was straight out of Imelda Marcos's closet.
He should be just like running a new show on Logo and just like leave the rest of us alone.
He was not telling that as a joke, by the way, either. That was how he opened the show.
As a reference.
Straight face, I assume. I was listening to it on the radio. But it did not sound like there was not a wink in his voice.
No. There's never been a wink in his voice. That's part of the problem. But yeah, so James Comey, who's becoming a very prolific letter writer, wrote another letter to Congress in which he said, based on our review, we have not changed our conclusions that we expressed in July regarding the Clinton emails.
And you want to know why? Because they were able to quickly go through all of these emails for the reason that we told you last week. Remember when last week we said...
weren't that many of them
said,
and they were copies.
Right, exactly. When we, based on the fact that we are two people who know how emails work, we knew that just discovering a new computer wouldn't mean that there were new emails on it. And that is exactly what happened. They were mostly copies of everything else that we had seen already.
Because that's how
electronic emails work.
I know. And it seems like maybe the FBI is just not that familiar with email technology, which is why we keep getting hacked by Russia and WikiLeaks. But the only thing that really we're all unified on in this is that Comey just fucking bungled this.
Bungled this, right.
The Democrats are mad that he's kept this in the news for what is obviously politicized reasons for weeks. The Republicans are mad that he announced that Clinton was not at fault for anything.
Right.
Everyone's mad.
Right.
They were mad before.
They were mad at him when they didn't indict her in July.
Now they're mad again.
And the Democrats were mad at him 9 days ago. And now the Republicans are mad at him. I don't know whether he's still going to have a job in a new administration, regardless of who wins.
Because he's a Republican, but
Donald Trump isn't going to want to keep him. And Hillary Clinton's going to want to have him killed in the night. So
In reference to the next story that we're going to talk about, I'm going to argue that there is no reason for either party to keep him.
I don't think there is either.
I don't think he's in control of his agents on top of being in control of his own job and responsibilities.
Yeah.
What we learned this week was that information about these emails was leaked to the Trump campaign before he announced it to Congress. I think the reason that letter came at such an awkward time to Congress and had no information in it is because he knew the story was about to break because Trump was walking around being like, something big's about to happen, as he does. And so whether or not Comey himself was responsible for the leak is sort of not the point.
Yeah.
The point is that the FBI is his agency, and it is his job to make sure that the agency is doing their job
appropriately. And they are really sort of running amok of what they're supposed
to be doing. They are running amok. Yeah. They're like KGBing it up a storm.
But
there's no dictator to keep them in control.
No.
And there shouldn't be, you guys.
No.
There shouldn't be.
Exactly, yes. As much as Donald Trump may be one if he gets elected, that's not what we're looking for.
But so far, neither campaign has made any comments about this.
No, Trump sort of vaguely did like something where he was like, they couldn't have possibly gone through all of those emails at a stop today. And I heard an interview with Kellyanne Conway, who was basically like, well, this doesn't change the fact that she still lied to the FBI, and Comey said that back in July. And so they're still sort of like going with it. But like, and Hillary, I think obviously, talking about her emails, even in a positive way, is never a good look for her because she would just prefer to not be. And also gloating is not really a great look either.
No.
So she has sort of not personally herself said, and she's had a bunch of rallies today and she hasn't said boo about it.
Well,
her strategy has started
to move towards maybe talking a little bit about policy and plans in a way that's supposed to unify people and away from the kind of just like anti-Trump rhetoric that we were hearing for a long time. And I think that this kind of confuses her message. They've been finding that voters are very confused about what her message
is.
And this is too much.
Well, and what happened 9 days ago further confused it because basically what she had to do at that point was sort of like re-go on the attack.
Exactly.
And what she sort of
She'd been trying to back away from that.
She had wanted to back away from that. And what she wanted to spend the last, 2 weeks doing was talking about her plans for the country and giving sort of like a more hopeful message to sort of contrast herself with Donald Trump. And then this first letter happened 9 days ago and she sort of had to go away from that. She's only, of course, got 2 days left. But, if it does anything, it probably doesn't necessarily change numbers greatly, but it probably gives them sort of like a little bit of confidence in the last 2 days. It probably allows her to sort of like take a breath and go back to sort of that message,
which she needs to really drive home support because people
have to have a reason to vote for
people
her.
People don't show up to the polls because they're angry at the other guy. They might say they're supporting you because they're angry at the other guy, but the thing that gets people to the polls is their excitement about you.
Right. And we're not going to know what effect this had really until Tuesday, and we still might not have I have sort of always contended that this seemed like it wasn't going to be a thing. I know the polls tightened in the last week. We're going to talk about those. They always tighten. But it's hard to imagine a world where someone thought to themselves, oh boy, I really like Hillary Clinton. And then that letter came out 9 days ago. And then they're like, wait, now I don't like Hillary Clinton. And then this new letter comes out. And then they say, oh, wait, she got cleared. I like her again. This and now I'm going to... Like, that's not like a... No. Like, no one is rationally having those...
By 9 days ago.
Right. No one is having those thoughts. No. And even if you hadn't made up your mind 9 days ago, it wasn't whether you trusted her about this email issue that was going to have thrown it one way or the other. Like, that's just not... Well, that's not thing, a thing that was happening.
If you made up your mind 9 days ago, it was not between Clinton and Trump. It was between Clinton and a third party. And that decision is going to keep wavering until you show up and vote.
Probably, yeah.
Actually, yeah. I have one point to make, though, which is going to be controversial.
Oh, I'm excited about this.
I'm in general in favor of early voting because I think it drives turnout.
Yeah.
In a perfect world where we could trust everyone to turn out, though, the reason that early voting makes me nervous is because you are forced to vote at various times in a process that's very volatile.
Yes.
And because of that, a lot of people have already voted. They voted before Comey's letter saying that this was not a scandal came out.
Yeah.
And as much as I think for the most part those were Democratic voters, I don't think that this will affect the outcome.
Yeah.
The reason that I kind of like to wait till Election Day is because shit like this always happens in the last week.
Totally.
And so as much as I am in favor of anything that drives turnout, because you know that we have a problem with turnout in this country. Right. In a perfect world where we didn't have a problem with turnout and voting, Election Day was a national holiday and you were guaranteed time from work to go vote and childcare and all the things and a ride to the polls and all the things you need, I would say early voting is a terrible idea.
I know.
Because you are forced to vote without the complete picture that everyone else is, you know, everyone's kind of voting at a different time in this kind of a volatile media environment is difficult.
Well, you heard Trump last week was telling people to go and take back their votes.
Exactly.
Did you hear about this? Which obviously you cannot
you can't do that.
But like in a world where you are second guessing your vote because something happens before you're actually supposed to vote, like that's not a world
that sucks.
But like, you know, maybe wait until Election Day. But you're right. You want people to go early vote.
You want people to vote.
Whether it's early or otherwise.
Well, and in a place where we have Election Day on a weekday and don't give everyone the day off and don't provide any options for them to get to the polls or have childcare, then you kind of take what you can get.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not like, I'm not against early voting as
a
concept.
But you're Democrats do much better with early voting. So you would assume that like that thing that happened 9 days ago, it wouldn't have been a huge deal. But anyway.
But hilariously, a lot of attorney general options for Trump getting knocked out of the respectability running. Not that Giuliani was anywhere in the respectability ratings of America.
Yeah.
But he announced on Friday that the FBI had leaked this information to the Trump campaign a week before Comey wrote that letter to Congress.
He knew about it.
And he like, then he tried to like walk back that he knew about it, but he had already admitted that he knew about it.
And he tried to say that it was from former agents because talking to current agents is, think, like illegal or something like that. Yeah. So,
but in any case, the Trump campaign is as corrupt as you would imagine, it turns out. So that's what we learned from that.
Yeah.
And it also kind of gave us some insight, like I said earlier, into why Comey wrote that weird letter in the first place. Because it was such an unusual thing for him to even notify Congress about this investigation at the time, at a time where, A, it was only going to take them a few days to read the fucking letters.
I know. Yeah,
and
exactly.
B, they had been sitting on that information for weeks. So
well,
they
right.
knew.
We talked about that on the podcast last week. They had those for almost a month and they knew about this.
And
so
C,
it's like,
this
what
isn't
were they
a situation
doing?
Where they would traditionally notify Congress anyway.
Right.
So it was just like a weird recipe for nonsense. And now we know why that recipe existed.
Right.
The other bad news for the Attorney General Committee of last week was that two of Chris Christie's top aides were actually charged in reference to Bridgegate.
On all counts. Yeah, guilty on all
Bridget
counts.
Bridget Kelly, who was his former deputy chief of staff, and Bill Baroni, his deputy director for the Port Authority, were both found guilty on all counts.
Fraud,
convicted of fraud,
conspiracy,
depriving the residents of Fort Lee, New Jersey, of their civil rights, et cetera. So
Christie, of course, was asked about this and again had to say that he didn't know anything about it, but I think it's more ridiculous
getting
that
to
that
the
be
point
the case.
Where
because,
we like know
because
for sure.
his other... the co-conspirator in this who pleaded guilty, what the heck is his name?
Wildstein.
Oh, yeah, Wildstein. He said that Christie knew about it. There were other, you know, there
right,
was a lot of...
Right, he implicated him years
there was
ago.
I was
like
going to say, there was, there was a lot of testimony in this trial for these two that came out that made it seem like,
he
kind
of had to know.
He certainly had to have...
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine that Wildstein and these two, all three, were in collusion about this and failed to ever mention it to him.
Right. And also, would bother taking this action in the first place.
Right.
Like this is just, like, not a thing that they would have just, like, needed to do, the three of them together.
No.
So it's getting harder for him to make that argument. Obviously, it's very unlikely that he will be charged with anything. Legal right. experts agree with me on that. So we're me and the legal community yeah. are all in agreement on that point. Yeah. They usually consult me, as you might imagine, sure. these kinds yeah. of things. But
should Trump become president on Tuesday, he's going to have to look for a third attorney general option, I think, probably.
I don't think that either of these two. I mean, and if he doesn't, this is sort of a window into what being strong-armed into, you know, into what is actually a conspiracy yeah. looks like.
Yeah.
That's what I imagine the Trump administration will be, is people yeah, like Christie and Giuliani, but totally. I also don't want to know.
Well, Chris Christie is currently running the transition team. I know. So, I mean, he's
trying real hard to have a career.
Yeah.
Well,
but
hitched his horse to a, I don't know what the saying is, failing wagon. That's not it, but sure. you get it.
But we don't think that we're going to have to worry about that.
No.
Based
the two
on,
of us
you know,
are not experiencing the anxiety that the rest of America is.
And I remember when we went on that radio show before the election in 2012.
National there Progressive were a lot Talk
of,
Radio.
Yes, there were a lot of polls tightening. Obama was actually only ahead by 1% at the time. And I remember Sean, the host of that show, asked us whether we thought Obama was going to win. And we said yes, because math.
Right.
And that is continues to be my answer here.
Yeah.
Yes, because math.
Yeah. So Nate Silver has downgraded the likelihood Clinton will win to 65.5%, which again is more than
a lot.
That's a
the New York Times and HuffPo both have it as much nearing 100.
Yeah. And part of, there's like been this weird infighting between pollsters, like the HuffPo pollsters cast some doubt on Nate Silver's numbers, saying that they weighed it funny, and then Nate Silver responded with this weird tweet storm, and it's been like chaos.
Yeah, well, Nate Silver, and I don't think he did this in 2012, actually, but he has been doing, like, you remember in 2012, the reason that the Republicans thought they were going to win was because they were looking at that Unskewed Polls website. Right. Remember there was that Republican pollster who was unskewing all the polls, and basically because he was saying that the electorate was not going to be the same, the electorate ended up being exactly the same, and then all the Republicans were sad because they had basically made up their own poll numbers.
Right.
There's some evidence that Nate Silver is on not quite the same level of insanity doing the same thing.
He's been unskewing polls, though. He's been weighting polls differently on the basis of bias.
I would trust Nate Silver to unskew polls more than I would whoever that loon bag was in 2012, because they had Romney winning almost every single state, if you remember, which
I do.
Obviously was
not
never going to be the case.
Even likely to be, no.
Right. But even still, whether you think that Nate Silver should be unskewing anything, 65% is where you would prefer to be as opposed to 35%.
Yeah. I mean, we should remind everyone that polls always tighten right before the election.
Always.
There's a lot of reasons for that.
She's
one is that people become, you know, undecided voters decide.
Things get more locked
one
in.
One
yeah,
is
exactly.
that there's immediate incentive to make it exciting because this is the reality show race of all time.
Yep.
And so you're not going to tune into news coverage for 24 hours on Tuesday.
Everybody
if you think
puts
that
their
a
final
winner.
Cards on the table.
Exactly.
You know, I mean,
this is always how this happens.
Yeah.
So this is not that concerning. There has been some concerning movement in some of the polls in some of these states in the sense that Clinton has lost some bigger leads in some of these swing states.
Yeah.
But
she's ahead nationally by more than Obama was at this time.
Exactly.
She's ahead in a lot. She's ahead in more swing states. More states are in play than were. There's literally no reason
and
to think that he's
like,
going to win.
Yeah, there's like a number of swing states in this year in particular that are not even in play. You know, like Virginia is not in play.
Virginia's not in play. And that's
you
the
know,
thing,
like,
you talk about, you know, there's the sort of like, oh, Hillary has like 100 different firewalls.
Right.
You know, everybody likes to talk about the firewall. You know, if Hillary wins all the states the Democrats always win, and then she wins Virginia and Colorado, she's fine. If she could still even lose Michigan if she wins Nevada and New Mexico and Virginia. You know, I mean,
Brent's
like,
been
there
listening
are so
to
many, there
MSNBC
are so
radio
many,
for
right,
hours
I know, I
on this
there are, there's
today.
A, so. There's literally a million combinations of states that she could cobble together that would get her to 270. And there's basically like one for Trump.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I mean,
and Trump is the only one who has must wins.
Yes.
Clinton doesn't have any must wins. There's various combinations of the states that are currently in play that she could win and get herself to 270.
Right.
Trump has some must wins. There are states that he must win in order to get
like,
this nomination.
We're
going to
know fairly early in the evening if Hillary wins Florida, which is sort of polling like it's close. It's polling like it could lean Trump, but we're going to get to a story later about some of the early voting trends that are coming out of there that look good for Hillary. Like, that's like, if that gets taken out of the Trump column, you could really, you don't even need to go to a a viewing party that night. No. Because if you're on the West Coast, you're going to know when you go home from work that the thing is over with.
Yeah.
Because he has so many states that are like nail, but he can't lose North Carolina.
Right.
He can't lose any of the Romney states. He can't, you know, I mean, it's just like, it has the potential. I realize people were talking that it might not be the blowout that we thought it was a week and a half ago. It also still could be the blowout that we thought it was going to be a week and a half ago.
I never suspected that Hillary Clinton was capable of a huge blowout, so I wouldn't be surprised if it's not.
I agree.
If it is, I'll be very proud of her because it's not something I saw coming.
Yeah.
So we have states, you know, Florida, Ohio, North Carolina, Iowa, Nevada. These are all closing up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, they're getting closer. But Pennsylvania, solidly blue still. Yeah. It's gotten closer, but not closer enough.
Colorado,
Virginia is not even in play.
That way. Yeah,
yeah, Colorado, which remember briefly like veered into Trump territory and has kind of veered out of there because they were like, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah.
I would hope. It seems like there's, you know, there's going to be some exciting nail biter states early in the evening
for sure.
But it doesn't, Trump just doesn't have as many options as she does.
He has like one option.
He has like one option, which is winning like everything the Republicans have ever won.
Ever
basically.
Won plus
additional
stealing
states.
Back Florida and winning Ohio and somehow stealing Michigan, which is probably
in
not
order
going
to win.
Happen.
He has to get like, Ohio, Florida, and Michigan.
I know
that's a tall order.
Yeah, it is.
And that's not include. I mean, that's not all he has to get.
To
get those.
That's assuming that he wins all of the Romney places. So that means he can't lose North Carolina.
Right.
And he can't.
And
you
remember,
know, I mean,
we're in a world
lose.
Where even Georgia is like mysteriously almost in play.
And what's going to happen in Arizona?
Exactly.
I mean, with, you know, if the trends that we're seeing with early voting out of Nevada are trends that happen
hold
in Arizona,
in other
you
states
know, like,
with large Hispanic populations, that's going to be.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's.
So
it's,
everybody go vote, but also. You know, get a good night's sleep. I've been hearing all these people talking about losing sleep, and it's like, don't be doing that.
No.
Like, sleep, people.
Sleep.
You can sleep.
You can
We're
sleep.
At a point where you can sleep.
You can sleep. Do the things you do so that you feel good about yourself.
Right.
If you want to go knock on doors in Pennsylvania, do it.
By all means.
I mean, don't not do that.
God bless you.
Like,
yeah.
Make sure your friends and family vote. Do the things that you have to do to feel good about yourself in case it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not the sort of panic anxiety is mostly just making everyone mean to everyone else. And that's, like, not helping anyone.
It's not helping anybody.
But so we're seeing a sort of late early voting surge among Latino voters for Clinton, which is a really good sign.
Yeah.
In Florida, there are 200,000 more early voting Latino votes as of Friday than were cast during the entire early voting period 4 years ago.
It's a lot, guys.
So that's a lot of additional votes. Nevada is seeing a big surge in Latino votes as
well. That's the fastest growing Latino population is in Nevada. And
some of the, you know, there are a lot of states like Arizona and Nevada that are sort of heading towards purple territory in a dramatic fashion. Ultimately, Texas is heading towards purple territory, especially if this is the sort of tenor of the Republican politics of the next
They said they weren't
going to
do that after 2012.
No, but they
all Romney
went all
did
in.
Was talk about self-deportation.
Exactly.
And that ruined them. So you can imagine...
imagine how just openly being saying that Mexicans are rapists and murderers is playing.
Yeah.
But I mean, there are a lot of states that already have surging Latino populations that are sort of only heading purple as, you know, unless the Republican Party can figure out how to sort of head in a new direction.
Yeah.
These are not states that they're ever going to see again after, you know, ultimately. So so we have good signs in Nevada. We have and Trump has really seized on this this one anecdote of the early voting in Las Vegas where I think it was like a grocery store or something that they kept open late because there were so many people trying to early vote.
Yeah, but they were all people that were in line.
They were people in line to vote.
Which
that's
is
what the
how
polls
that
are
works.
Supposed to do. If you showed up to vote
so
in time, you're allowed
to vote.
So they
stayed open until 10 p.m., but it sort of like took over the internet because there was this photo that was going around of this huge line and everybody was like spiraling out of control about it.
Right.
And Trump
was acting like we're illegally keeping the polls open so that
which
Democrats can vote.
Not
which
what
that's not. If you show up to a poll before closing time, you are entitled to vote.
Yes.
That's the law.
Yeah.
You can't just be shut out of... If you showed up to vote in time, you vote. That's how voting works.
Yeah.
These trends are affecting primarily Arizona, Colorado, Florida, North Carolina, and Nevada.
Yeah.
With... I think Nevada and Arizona potentially are like... And Florida, I mean,
Florida,
are the sort of most notable among those.
Yeah.
But this is good news for the Clinton campaign. This is... good news for Democrats in general. Right. We're seeing a shift in demographics that could benefit Democrats.
Yeah. And those states, the ones that you just named, the Arizona, Colorado, that batch,
right,
they have already cast the equivalent of 50% of the total vote total from 2012.
Yeah,
so they have almost half voted at this point,
yeah,
which is huge. So there may be more turnout this year. I mean, we don't know. But I mean, like, the fact that they have... That's huge.
That's a big deal.
That's a big deal, yeah.
That's sort of unprecedented.
Yeah.
And so if states like this go to Clinton, you know, she can lose...
Yeah.
She can lose Ohio. She can lose Iowa. Anyone can lose Iowa.
Anybody
can lose Iowa. We always talk about Iowa like it's a, like it's
and there are four the most important state, right? Votes that
like, there's no electoral votes
in Iowa. Red these right. days anyway, so, like, fuck them. Yeah.
But, like, she can lose Michigan. You know, there's a lot of options built in once if she gets some of those states.
Everybody sort of like has these laser focuses on the states that are like classic, you know, battlegrounds. And that's right. understandable because sure. those are, you know, Ohio usually picks the president.
Right.
But it doesn't have to.
No, we don't have to let Ohio pick the president.
No.
Just because right. Ohio exists,
yeah.
You know, doesn't just because Ohio happens to be like oddly a very evenly split state.
Right.
Doesn't.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean we have to let them pick the president.
No.
Meanwhile, it's probably not helping that Trump has, like, the lamest ground game.
Right. Which so is, one like, thing, least shocking right. news
I mean,
of the week.
He didn't have good ground game during the primaries either.
No.
But everybody agrees that Clinton's ground game is better. I don't think anyone would be surprised by that. Yeah. It's not as great as Obama's but it's better than having no ground game, which is where the Trump campaign is right
and,
now.
Yeah, and, you know, people talk about the ground game and the get out the vote all the time and stuff like that. And I think a lot of the, you know... the general public sort of doesn't give that the amount of stock that it probably actually deserves because that's a BFD as the kids would say, or maybe they're not.
I don't think they're
saying,
I think they're probably not. Like, I think that kids when we were kids might've said that.
Right. Yeah.
Teenagers when we were teenagers might've said that.
Yeah.
But
it's a BFD IRL.
Exactly. Trump has 207 offices nationwide. Clinton has 489.
Yeah.
Her organization is much bigger in every battleground state. Obama had 790, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody is as great as the Obama campaign at the ground game. That's how they... But the get out the vote effort also relies on data. And so the Democrats have an advantage because they have Obama's data from those 790 offices. Yep. And you need volunteers. You need people who will knock on doors and make phone calls and do all of that boring shit that people have to do in order to get out the vote. You need accurate data. So that you're not just calling Trump voters and having them hang up on you.
Right.
But you're calling likely voters, voters with a strong history of voting with the party, people who seem like strong voters, you know, but don't necessarily have a way to get to the polls. You want to sort of target people that are likely to show up but may not be showing up for reasons you can solve.
And this is something that the Democrats are good at.
This is something the Democrats are good at. And generally the Republicans attempt to have this kind of game.
Right.
But Trump has not really made that kind of attempt.
No.
He's mostly farmed out his ground game to the RNC. And the thing about doing that, I mean, you can do that. They have a stronger ground game than they used to.
Yeah.
But they are not necessarily just out there for him. And there's a lot of anger at him in the Republican Party. So there's a good chance that a lot of their ground game is going towards local candidates.
Yeah, well, we already know. We talked last week on the podcast about the fact that they are basically not, they're not spending the amount of money on his campaign, you know, the joint fundraising operation is basically over. So, I mean, yes, the RNC is probably just generally telling people to go vote for Trump, but they're not doing it in the sort of laser-focused way that the Clinton campaign is with, you know, their own volunteers.
Yeah, and that's a big deal. That's a sort of big difference between the campaigns. That's going to make a big difference. It's a BFD, as the 30-something kids would say. And so the only real ground game that's existing in the Trump side is from special interest groups,
which
is effective in some ways. You know, the Susan B. Anthony group or whoever they're called, that pro-life group that's a bunch of nutsos.
Yeah.
They can go and talk to pro-life Democrats and, you know, they have the ability to kind of cross boundaries in a way that his own campaign can't.
Right.
But if you just have like Susan B. Anthony and like Generation Joshua, which is an evangelical youth group that like sends kids to go stump for candidates and like groups like that, you're really only targeting special interest groups in specific states. That's not a message with wide appeal. It doesn't help your ground game in most places.
No.
And it only has appeal in certain kinds of states with certain kinds of voters in the first place, not to mention the fact that these organizations only have ground games in those states. So it really doesn't give you, it's not a campaign or it's not a replacement for a campaign ground game.
Definitely not.
And These people are relying on their own data only.
That's what I was just about to say. They don't have the type of data that the RNC would have or that the DNC would have. Right. Like, they just, exactly. They don't. Yeah.
So, in any case, forget about the presidential race.
Yeah.
Vote for the right person in the presidential race.
Sure.
If you live in a deep blue state, whoever that we're not going to tell you who to vote for.
That's right.
If you live in a swing state, we'd probably encourage you to vote for Clinton, but sure. Vote your conscience if you have to. Do what you ever have to do. Do whatever you have to do to make sure you show up for these other races.
Right.
Because as my Facebook rant said, it's better, even in a swing state, it's better. The difference between not voting and voting third party, but also voting against a Republican senator is big. You're still contributing if you want to do that.
Exactly.
So here is an update on some of the Senate races.
Right. There's a lot of them. And this is close. A lot of the projections have it around 50-50 as to who's going to take control of the Senate. A lot of projections have it at 50-50, as in 50 senators from each party, actually, as well.
No, right.
Which could be crazy. So then it's going to come down to who wins the presidency. But, you know, there are a lot of states that we really just don't. This is going to be more exciting than watching the presidential returns.
For sure.
Is, you know, looking to see whether Joe Heck or Cortez Mastro win in Harry Reid's seat in Nevada. Because that's...
There are some exciting seats in play.
There are, yes.
So we have the Nevada seat. We have Harry Reid's ex seat.
Yeah.
Various polls are showing both of them with an advantage.
Crazy close.
It's a real close one. It's sort of an interesting matchup. Joe Heck is not as crazy far to the right as many Republicans running. Kathy Cortez Mastro is not that far to the left. It's kind of a confusing
choice. And Joe Heck has been... Now, Cortez Mastro would be the first Latina senator. But Joe Heck has been... He's currently a member of the House,
right.
And he has been the person that a lot of Republicans look to as their sort of like guiding light Republican who deals or who is
who's got
good,
a lot of support in the Latino community.
Exactly,
he's well liked in the Latino community. He has deep roots. I mean, not he doesn't have deep family roots there, but he has political roots there. That is a community that
he is
well organized to get out the vote for.
Right.
For
so it's an interesting one.
Yeah.
But it's very close and nobody really knows who's gonna win that.
So then we have Indiana seat.
Right.
And it's another open seat.
Yeah.
Evan Bayh used to be the senator there.
Trying to go back.
He's trying to get back.
Right.
He's running against
as
Todd
much as
Young.
I dislike Evan Bayh, I mean almost more than any Democratic senator who has been in the Senate that I can think of. In this scenario, you should be voting for him if you live in Indiana.
Right. It's your only choice.
As much as it pains me to say that.
Exactly. But it's like a total toss-up.
Yeah.
That's Young is up by 0.7 points on Real Clear Politics. But
the average,
that's a meaningless advantage. So
yeah.
That one's super close. We have Wisconsin. That's gotten close. We're not happy about that. You know that we're big Russ Feingold fans.
Guys.
We know that we're not interested in seeing Ron Johnson take that seat again.
First off, any living human running against Ron Johnson should have your vote. Second.
Yes, correct.
American hero Russ Feingold.
What a gift to get to vote for him against Ron Johnson.
Like,
what a
people
gift.
Of Wisconsin.
Pull your lives together.
I
but
do
also,
think that he's going to win. I think Hillary is going to win Wisconsin, obviously. I think that it and would make sense that Russ Feingold
he's had
win,
the advantage this whole time.
He really has.
But he has it. Here's what I would say is if you were thinking to yourself, how can I contribute meaningfully on election day to get out the vote efforts?
And if you
call
don't, right. And
Russ
if you're not
Feingold,
wanting to
call
make,
Democrats.
If you're not wanting to make calls for Hillary Clinton just because you were the type of person who just doesn't want to do that.
Brent
like,
and I are those
you know,
type of
maybe,
people.
I was just about to say that.
Make some calls for Russ Feingold in Wisconsin.
Yeah. If you have to do anything.
Yeah.
Guys, if you're thinking to yourself at night, I feel bad that I haven't made calls for Clinton because she's awful, then
this is how you help.
This is how you fix those feelings that you're having.
And those voters will show up and they'll vote for Clinton.
Yeah,
you're helping Clinton indirectly, but not in a way that you have to feel bad about if you're not a fan of Clinton.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, that's a get out the vote efforts are going to be really critical in that race
totally.
Because
yeah.
it Feingold has the advantage.
Yes.
It's just like making sure everyone shows up.
Yeah.
We have Mark Kirk and Tammy Duckworth.
Yes.
It's looking like Duckworth is pretty much definitely going to take that
that's
seat.
That's a pickup.
It didn't help Kirk that he made a racist comment at their debate, which I think we talked about last week.
Which is interesting that somebody who was endorsed by the Human Rights Campaign was making racist comments.
HRC, not Hillary Rodham Clinton, but the Human Rights Campaign is growing on our list. It's gaining speed on our list. Brent, instead of being a regular donor, is now writing angry letters to them periodically.
They have heard more from me this election season than they've wanted to. And they're also like getting less money from me than they've wanted
to. The literal worst.
They're gross.
They're gross. They're being gross.
Terrible.
Yeah,
anyway.
It's but yeah, but so
Tammy Duckworth is gonna Tammy win Duckworth, and HRC can go fuck itself.
So true.
There.
Said we said it. but so that one's looking safer. It's obviously gotten closer as everything has over the last few months. But
Illinois
it's,
in a presidential year is tough for a Republican.
Exactly.
As much as we were just talking about.
Well, and Kirk came in an off year. So
I was going to say it's terrible that Mark Kirk said what he said.
Yes.
He is also not the worst.
No, as Republicans go, he's fairly reasonable. Yes. But if your choice is a fairly reasonable Republican or a Democrat who's good, then that's not a choice.
That's not a choice.
In any case, we have the North Carolina seat.
Yes.
I got to indirectly advise someone to vote in that race.
Yeah, you
and
did.
I felt great about it.
Sure
it's
did.
It's my first swing state almost vote. And I couldn't be happier.
Yep.
Deborah Ross, who's challenging Senator Burr, is basically in a tie with him at this point. They're both leading in various polls, all within the margin of error.
Yeah.
He's another GOP incumbent.
That would be a pickup.
Who's on the line, so that would be a pickup. It's North Carolina is a sort of one of the bigger mysteries of this race in general.
Yeah.
We don't know who they're going to vote for president. No. Because of that, we don't know who the governor is going to be. We don't know who the senator is going to be. Like they have a lot of exciting seats on the line. You know, their governor has basically been just like promulgating anti-trans legislation all over the place. They are in an interesting situation. They've never been this important in their lives.
No.
It's a good time to be in North Carolina and yet a concerning time to be in
North
Carolina.
Yeah, don't vote for that governor.
No.
Guys, if you're a person who can convince someone in North Carolina.
Was his last name McCrory? Pat McCrory?
Yes. Ugh.
He's an asshole. Ugh. Don't vote for him.
Yeah.
Do better.
Yeah. Even Republicans shouldn't like, even if you were a trans-hating person, if you are a Republican, the fact that so much business has left that state because of that bill.
That was a bad business decision.
Literally everyone should be voting against Pat McCrory in that state. Even if you're a Republican, vote him out now and get a better candidate in four years to run. I mean, he's terrible.
You
like,
can
actually
be
terrible.
In favor of lowering taxes and being pro-corporate and pro-business.
Sure.
And not be anti-trans.
Yes.
That's a better way, in fact, to be pro-corporate. Corporations aren't making as much money when everyone's angry at them. So that's...
Exactly.
We have Kelly Ayotte and Maggie Hassan in New Hampshire. That's another roller coaster.
One.
They've all led by as much as 10 points in that race
been
at
all
various
over the
times.
Place.
That race has been everywhere. Right.
The presidential polls supposedly are tightening in New Hampshire, too.
Yes.
So that is...
The outcome of that's very tied to what happens in the Senate. I mean, the outcome of the Senate race is very tied to what happens.
So,
the
and that would be another pickup. Kelly Ayotte is obviously the incumbent there.
Yes.
So,
she has a slight advantage in the most recent polls.
Right.
It's within the margin of error, though. And as we said, that race it's swung wildly by as much as 20 points in the last few months.
Yeah.
So we don't know.
Yeah.
Marco Rubio and Pat Murphy are in what is now being considered a toss-up.
Yeah, which is crazy.
That was leaning Rubio for a long time.
Exactly. And it's interesting, there has been a huge dissension within the DSCC because they, a while ago, pulled all of the money out of Florida.
Right, they thought
and
it was a lost cause.
And now it's getting close and everybody's like, wait, why did we do this? It's a little more of an expensive market, Florida is.
Sure.
But like, everybody's kind of...
But if we could get Rubio out,
I was
going to
say,
Patrick
Murphy
deal.
Is kind of like, can I get some help down here, guys? Because it's not that... He was losing by double digits not long ago, but that, as is everything, apparently, is tightening.
Yeah.
So that would be huge, because also that could doom Marco Rubio's presidential chances. And that, I think...
That's important.
And that's one of the reasons why a lot of people felt that they shouldn't have pulled the money down there.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, as we have said many times on this podcast during the Republican presidential primary... Marco Rubio is who you don't want to be running against in a presidential primary or in a presidential election.
General
if Hillary election. Clinton was running against Marco Rubio right now, we would have probably just shut this podcast down because there would have been
We'd
no reason to continue doing it. I mean, it would be a wash right now.
Yeah.
So let's make sure that Marco Rubio does not go back to the Senate because that could sort of ruin him.
Yeah. That.
That's what we wanted. We want to ruin
Marco
Rubio.
We
want to
ruin Marco Rubio. He's not up to good things.
He's not up to good things. But he sort of is, fairly an adept politician. So,
He's the most adept politician they currently have to offer, besides maybe Paul Ryan, who everyone hates. So John McCain's race he's favored to win that by about 10 points, but that race has been closer than he would like for this entire time as well.
Right.
And, if turnout comes out big for the Democrats, exactly. that race could get close.
Yep.
I don't see a world in which he doesn't take that seat back, but that would be yeah. an exciting roller coaster of a time. Let's make it happen.
Yeah.
He's old. I'm sick of him.
I know.
He's in his mid-hundreds. Who like, even thought he was going to run again?
God, I know. Like, seriously.
He doesn't... Who has the energy to keep only someone as mavericky as John McCain? I know.
Well, the thing about John McCain is that obviously you would want the Democrat to win there when the Senate is so up in the air, but like he's so much less mavericky than he used to be too, yeah. which is what's well, he also, unfortunate one about thing him. Because, I think
that is okay about him if he does win coming back, if Hillary Clinton wins, is that he has like a fairly good working relationship with Hillary Clinton.
That's true.
They're friends.
Yeah.
I don't feel great about that, but I get it. I bet he's fun at a dinner party, whatever. Yeah, probably. But I think that it probably would be a channel for a Clinton administration into the Republican Senate, which isn't a terrible thing to have open.
Right.
Yeah. Especially because he doesn't want to be associated with these Trump nutzos.
No, not at all.
That's not his brand.
No.
He tried and is right. not
he's a, he's
loved
a different
it.
Brand of
He's
nutso.
A different brand of nutso.
Yeah.
And then we have Missouri. Roy Blunt and Jason Kander. No one knows who Jason Kander is if they don't live in Missouri.
Right, exactly.
But Roy Blunt is an incumbent, and his advantage is rapidly disappearing.
I was hearing some story on either CNN or some... Who, God knows. I don't... I've just been so
just
inundated.
One of the places.
I've been so inundated with it lately. After I said that I was going to stop paying attention, because I've already voted, but you can't.
You can't stop.
You just can't.
No.
But apparently Jason Kander has run, like, the world's greatest campaign.
Like he's clearly. Done,
he's like a younger guy. I think he's a veteran or something like that. And he's like, they played one of his ads, which was like seriously good. And like, apparently Roy Blunt, who is just a goober. I mean, yeah. like, you know, but Jason Kander actually could win there. And that would be crazy in Missouri.
Yeah, that would be nuts.
That would be insane.
It's, you know, for most of this race, Blunt has had an advantage of at least 5 or 6 points.
Right, but it's close now.
And it is now within 1.5.
And this is a place points. That the Democrats have been spending a lot of money yeah. because they felt like they could actually help here, and it's cheap airtime.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and this is a big pickup if they do pick it up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
And then finally we have Pennsylvania, Katie McGinty and Pat Toomey.
Yeah.
McGinty's up by 2.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Most polls have her up by a very slight margin, but everything's within the margin of error, so yeah. nobody knows what's going to happen.
But she is basically ahead in all of the polls.
But she's ahead in all of the polls, so that's close, a pretty consistent.
But I mean, a lot of these other states that we've mentioned have somebody up by 2 right. and then somebody else up
some
by 2.
Some polls that are essentially ties. Right,
exactly. And she is really up in all of them, but, you know, they're close.
Yeah. But so that's a race we've obviously been looking to for yeah. a while. And that's another race that if there's big presidential turnout,
totally.
That could definitely benefit yeah. McGinty. So that's exciting. Yeah. So we have some exciting Senate races that are very close to yeah. look to. As far as House races go, we are only going to tell you about Zephyr Teachout's race because,
yeah.
you know, there's too many of them otherwise.
I know.
You should look into your local House race, see what's going
yes.
on.
Uh-huh.
I feel like a lot of... The Democrats did not do a good job of running someone in every congressional district, which I am mad about because I feel like... I know, but we should, obviously. That's people... won't vote Democratic yeah. if they can't.
Well,
that's
you know
not
who I
possible.
Blame for this?
Hillary Clinton.
Oh, well, I was going to say Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Oh, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, yeah.
But we can blame Hillary Clinton too while we're at it. I'm happy blaming her for
that wing of the
anything,
party
so.
yeah. is not famous for their love of the 50-state strategy. No. They're not Howard Deaning it around.
No, they're
they
not.
Should be. Yeah. In any case, the Teach Out Fazzo race in New York is not... The latest poll's not looking great. It shows Fazzo up by 6. However, other recent polls are showing Teach Out up by about 3. So...
Yeah.
It seems like that's another that it's kind of swinging wildly. Also, it's a new district. No yeah. one knows how to pull it. No one
Zephyr
knows what's going on
that. Could be like the next great American hero, guys.
Yeah, like vote for her. Like, don't be idiots.
Yeah.
And actually, I mean, I think in that race specifically, there is reason for even Trump supporters. There are a lot of them up there to vote for her. I don't think, you know, if you live in New York State and you want to vote for Donald Trump, that's your business. They're, you know, do what you're going to do.
He's going to lose, so do what you do.
Do what you do. I mean, and if you know a Trump supporter up in upstate New York, who cares? But what you could do is tell them about Zephyr Teachout. I, you know, my parents live in that district.
Yeah.
And so I've been hearing a lot about what's been going on there. And one of the issues that's really contentious up there that has been driving a lot of her support is that these pipelines are supposed to be coming through yeah. town. And, you know, a lot of people, Republicans and Democrats, are against that for reasons that range from environmental reasons to the fact that pipeline yeah. companies often use eminent domain to take away farmers' yeah. land. And so there is a real incentive for people on both sides of the aisle to yeah. be interested in this race and to be interested in Teach Out specifically.
Yeah. Well,
so if you need to go to the polls and vote for Donald Trump because yeah. you're going to vote for Zephyr Teach Out in upstate New York, do you?
Yeah. Well, and the other thing about her is that she has Trump appeal in the sense that she is a sort of anti-establishment candidate. She's very anti-corruption. She's the last standing Bernie. She doesn't obviously have anything to do policy-wise with Trump. But if you are the type of person who thinks that Trump is going to go to Washington and shake things up, you're going to get that with Zephyr Teachout as well.
And she's the last Bernie person standing right now. So you could be having your own Bernie Sanders. You're the only people that can be.
Right, exactly.
But that's another district where if you wanted to contribute your volunteer hours to making calls, that would be a district that would be worth doing that in. Yeah. She's being massively outspent by her opponent. He's, you know, he was a lobbyist. He's a corporate guy. He's got a lot of money.
Well, and she famously said that she wanted to debate the people who were funding his campaign as opposed to him, which was
genius.
Genius, by the way. I mean, she's a genius.
Yeah, Zephyr she's geniusing it around. So that's a race to keep an eye on. That's a race to, if you know anyone in that district, to make a call about. That's an exciting House race that would be more meaningful than just for the people in that district.
Yes, exactly.
And now we're going to talk about props.
We're going to talk about all 157 of them. No, there we're not, actually. But that's how many there are. Thank God
we're not. 34 states have props. What a dream to live in one of the 16 that doesn't.
I know.
I can't even imagine how easy it would be to go to the polls and just not have to vote on any props.
Yeah.
I would just float through voting like it was no big deal.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have to carry a cheat sheet into the voting booth with me, as I'm going to have to.
Well, the problem with the props is that one of them is going to win and then you're stuck with it.
Exactly.
And at least in California specifically, we have a few of them
that are competing.
That are competing, and also that no one knows what you're supposed to vote on.
Yeah.
And you're going to, one of them will win. There's no maybe or I don't like.
Or let's revisit this next year with a slight rewrite.
Right, exactly. That's not how these props are. You vote yes or no on them.
And I mean, I'm having that issue on the first prop on the ballot.
It's a confusing
one.
Yeah, exactly.
The Democratic establishment's for it, except for Jerry Brown, who's against
our governor.
And here's the thing. I trust Jerry Brown for the most part. I think he's kind of like our responsible adult.
Yeah.
Adult in California. So I don't know what to do about that. But so 34 states have them. There are 157 total. We're going to talk to you about some of the biggest ones. Specifically in healthcare, there are some exciting ones. Yeah. Colorado is voting on single payer.
God.
Most recent polls show it losing by about 10%.
But
this is on the way to them passing it. I mean,
is,
you got to have it on the ballot. With props, oftentimes, you have them on the ballot and they lose until they win. We've voted on the death penalty in this state about 1 billion times.
Right. I think we might finally get it right.
I'm hoping that this year we finally get it right.
Yeah.
But it's only losing by about 10 points. That's not an insurmountable margin. And we're talking about a prop that has massive massive money behind its anti prop organization.
I'm wondering if the recent
and also their fucking Democratic senator is against it. Michael Bennett is an asshole.
Come on.
I'm wondering Nelson of 2016.
Yeah. I'm wondering if, you know, the Obamacare premiums going up is obviously bad for everyone that they went up for.
It could drive some support
but
for this.
I'm wondering if it could possibly drive some support
here.
You would think, because obviously what anybody who's in support of this should be going around saying is that if your healthcare premiums are going up, then let's give you free healthcare premiums and then call it a day and you won't have to go around complaining about Obamacare any longer.
Exactly. So that's one to keep an eye on, another one to make calls on if you have some free time. Proposition 61 in 64 in California
it's 61.
61. Yeah. Okay. You guys, there's 17 of them, and I've started to mix up the numbers.
I know. Yeah.
It's 51 that I can't figure out how to vote on. 61, I know how to vote
on. Well, and
that's
the thing. Like, they're all just numbered, too, because, like, people know that, obviously, I have this podcast and things like that, and friends will be like, what should I vote on? Prop 57. And I'm like, you have to tell me what that
one is. Tell me which one it is.
I don't know.
We know the props. We made the cheat sheet. We did all the research.
We did the appropriate research, but I don't know which one is which number. You have to help.
That's hard.
You have to help me.
61 is the one that Bernie Sanders has been campaigning for here in California. It restricts the price that state agencies can pay for prescription drugs to the VA pricing structure.
Right, because VA
they
gets
pay the lowest prices
guaranteed
of,
low prices for drugs. And
they pay the lowest
tie,
prices of any federal agency,
right,
at least.
So it would tie all of the other –
It would tie our state agencies to their prices.
To what their prices
That's
are.
A big deal because we're a big state.
Yeah.
That is one step towards bringing down prescription drug prices.
I know. Yeah.
It is apparently –
And the people who are running against this are like, well, it would only affect like 12% of the state because that's who has
it will have
other
ancillary
state agencies.
Effects.
But it's sort of – yeah, exactly. Like that's not a reason to like not vote against something.
Also,
like, that
saves
doesn't make
us tax
any
dollars,
sense.
So whatever.
Yeah,
So like vote for paying more in taxes for prescription drugs for state pension and healthcare funds is stupid. Just vote against paying more for that.
Yes.
It's so easy to not want to pay more for that.
Yeah.
We don't have any poll numbers on it, but apparently it has a good chance of passing. That's what we've been hearing.
Yeah.
But we don't have any specific numbers for you.
Well,
so
the
we
way
can be
that
lying.
That is worded Just like if you have no information about it and you go and you read that it's going to tie drug costs to lower drug costs, then like you're probably going to vote for that. That is one of the things that I hate about the propositions, but, is that they're so simply worded and you don't know the repercussions. But in this case, the simple wording of it might really sell it.
It's also one of the most expensive campaigns that's gone on so far. Oh, there are billboards all over town for it.
Because all the drug companies are running Sanders.
There's billboards with veterans. There's like madness.
Yeah.
So this is a really high profile one that we've been getting a lot of inundated with information about all of it. A little bit half wrong.
Yeah.
But there are also 5 states that are voting to legalize marijuana.
Us, California,
we are
one of them.
Arizona, Maine, Massachusetts, and Nevada are all also voting to legalize marijuana for people over 21. Yep. Nancy Pelosi just came out, I think this week, to say that she would be voting in favor of that. Yeah. Like, if you're in a state like California where everyone's stoned already, why make it illegal?
I'm stoned right now. I'm not.
No, but I mean, we probably have a contact high just from living in California at the moment.
Exactly.
Like, this is a state where everyone is using marijuana.
Right, exactly.
And the problem with having it be illegal is the problem with criminalizing a lot of drugs, which is that the law is not applied fairly.
No,
if you need
not.
An argument, I know that there are some concerns about what this will do to small family farms that grow marijuana. I believe that we can address those in legislation in the future.
Yes.
I don't think it's a reason to not legalize marijuana. No. I think that we know that drug laws do not get applied fairly.
Yeah.
People of color are much more likely to be arrested, incarcerated, fined, whatever, for drug use of any kind.
Yeah.
So it's better to get that law out of the, the books. Let's deal with the repercussions in a responsible way.
Let's have some more revenue.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you remember how much revenue Colorado got from this?
Colorado was rolling in money after
way
this.
Way more than they thought that they were ever going to get. That's probably why they think they can vote on single payers, because they got a bunch of money laying around.
Exactly. No, I mean, this is something that every state that's done it has seen have be a net positive.
Yeah.
So let's not do it.
Yeah.
There are also 4 states that are voting to legalize medical marijuana. That is Arkansas, Florida, Montana, and North Dakota. Surprising states.
I know,
but
right?
Here we are.
Yeah.
A world where North Dakota might have legalized medical marijuana. I think New York State recently voted to legalize medical marijuana, but it's like near impossible to get. So that's too bad. We have states voting on minimum wage legislation. Mm-hmm. In Arizona, Colorado, and Maine, they're asking whether they should raise the minimum wage to $12. By the way, what a world dreaming big has brought us. Like,
right?
If you don't talk about raising the minimum wage in real numbers, you can't have legislation that does that.
Nope.
I know that this is not $15, but this is a huge increase.
But if we weren't talking about $15, do you want to know what they would be voting on here? They wouldn't be voting on an increase at all.
Exactly. And also, currently, $10 is the highest state minimum wage.
Right, so going to 12.
So going to 12 is a big improvement.
Yeah.
And we're going to 12 because we asked for 15.
Exactly.
We're not going to 12 because we asked for 12.
No.
Hillary Clinton asked for 12. The rest of us asked for 15. We're going to 12 as a compromise.
Right.
That's not the same thing. Yeah. Like, if we had asked for 12, we'd be going to 11, you know, or 10.50
or
something.
Right, exactly. And Washington wants to go to 13.50, so that's...
Washington is really killing it on the minimum wage front, though. They're like at the forefront of minimum wage.
I know, because Seattle is already...
Seattle's at 15, so it's... They're doing great.
Yeah.
In Arizona and Washington, also, these props will include paid sick leave.
Nice.
Which is great. So, there's some great minimum wage props on the ballot if you live in any of those states. There's one prop in Massachusetts that we're all supposed to be against.
Yes.
And by supposed to, I mean that we have determined that you're supposed to be against.
Exactly.
It's question 2, and it would expand the number of charter schools in the state.
I like calling
them
question.
I know. That sounds... It's much more charming.
Well, it is.
It's a really high-profile prop. We're against it because charter schools are not our cup of tea. They are not...
No.
They don't provide the public education quality to everyone that we believe public education should provide. But polling is very tight on that. So if you know anyone in Massachusetts, find out how they're voting, convince them to vote against it.
Yeah.
But that's it. Like, if you're in Massachusetts and you're thinking, why bother? The state is going to Clinton. I don't care. I don't like Clinton. I don't want to do anything. Show up and vote against question 2.
Yep.
You can do it.
Yeah.
It's fun.
And we would also highly suggest to you, as people who deal with this prop system every 4 years, but every 2 years, really, we have them.
I mean, every 1 year.
We dealt
with them
true.
In the primaries.
Yeah.
We have props every time we go to the polls.
Do your research.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
They are not always what they seem.
They are never what they seem.
There
has never been a single prop in the history of California.
Do not go into the voting booth not having known what the repercussions of some of these propositions are, and only read what is on the ballot that is confusing and doesn't tell you anything, and then just pick willy-nilly what you're going to vote for.
Find out who's endorsing them. Find out why they're endorsing them. Find out where the money for the pro and con campaigns are coming from.
And this is all easy to get.
It's easy to get. Ballotopedia has actually a great selection of endorsement, a list of endorsements, a list of donors. It has all of those things. There's... Yep. Always more than meets the eye, these props. And also, they're like, it's like when, you know, we talk about legislation a lot that has like a surprisingly optimistic name. You know, like Sunshine and Rainbows, it takes away healthcare from every, you know, the Sunshine and Rainbows Act, you know, that helps puppies is an act that, you know, kills puppies and takes away Sunshine and Rainbows.
Yeah.
Like, these props all have names that sound really great. So when you are in the voting booth, it's all like money for all the schools prop and money for hugs.
But you really find out that it only goes to building schools and not actually any education or hiring of teachers.
Money for
or
hugs, like murders
that,
children or something. You know, like there's always something about the prop that's mislabeled.
Yeah.
So do your homework on those for sure.
Yeah.
And if you don't feel like doing your homework, consult a friend who does.
Right.
Because we are that friend for most people. So I can't, I mean, it's like you can't even blame people for not doing their homework with 17 props on the ballot. You know, in California, it's like there's our official voter guide is 233 pages long. We've talked about that a lot.
Your desk right now.
Our official voter guide is not the only research you have to do to understand the props, though. That's only your first layer of research.
Right.
Because after that, you got to find out who the people are that wrote the pro and con arguments, why they are pro and con, what else was said about this prop by other people you trust, where the money is coming from. I mean, it's like chaos.
Yeah, it is.
In any case. But show up to vote for one of those things, even if you don't care about anything else.
Yeah.
You just show up to vote because it's fun to vote.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get the sticker if you don't show up. So it's like, I don't even know why.
Bingo.
If you don't get the sticker, everyone's going to hate you.
Yeah.
And that'll be embarrassing.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in other news, there was a... Trump was rushed off the stage yesterday by Secret Service after someone like randomly shouted the word gun at one of his rallies.
Yeah.
But it's a really funny clip that we recommend.
Aren't people shouting that at Trump rallies all the time?
First of all, I would imagine.
Right.
Second of all, Trump is a funny runner who does not look like a natural athlete. That's a note that I have based on having watched the video.
Yeah.
Man who caused the commotion was a Republican who was protesting Trump at one of his rallies.
Yeah.
He held up a sign that said Republicans against Trump.
Yeah. And there was no gun, by the way.
There was
no gun, but there were no weapons.
He held up the sign. The entire crowd started attacking him.
Yeah.
This is according to his version of the events, but also according to what clearly happened in the situation. Somebody then shouted something about how he had a gun, and then the Secret Service rushed Trump off stage. And then Republicans everywhere congratulated Trump for coming back on stage even after nobody found a gun and there was no actual incident.
Exactly, yes.
The guy who was responsible was like rushed out by like a SWAT team basically.
Yeah, because he was being threatened as he was leaving.
There are no charges being filed though because he didn't do anything illegal.
Right, exactly. He
and
held
actually
up a sign.
There was a similar situation at an Obama event where there was a protester and Obama was like, just leave the guy alone. Let him scream. It's his right to scream.
Yeah.
Which was obviously partially in sort of like response to this kind of activity at Trump rallies. But meanwhile, Trump's campaign, even before they knew what had happened, started using it as an example of
how he's more
heroic than Clinton because he's so tough. And she,
on the
same day, she had cut a rally short because it was like pouring in Florida.
Yeah.
That is an actual problem for
people.
You don't want to be at a rally that's in the rain.
No.
I'll be at a rally that nothing threatening is happening at.
Right, exactly.
That's pretty easy.
Yeah.
So in any case, there are also rumors circulating that the reason that Trump has seemed to be in better control over the last few days is because his Twitter privileges were revoked by his aides.
Yes. He is now not sending his own tweets.
No, he's having to draft them with aides, and they're going through a layer of screening.
Like, where was that plan months ago?
You guys, this could have solved so much.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have to know that the shackles were off if this... But, I mean, it's hard to control him at 3 a.m., so I get it.
Well, that's true. I mean, he's got a phone, so like,
but
what are you
they're trying to kind of give him a more... He's having a more restrained campaigning style over the next few days in an attempt to maybe make voters think that he can fool them into seeming like a reasonable person for a couple days, even though he's been acting unhinged for months.
Right.
I don't know. And then finally, are you legally entitled to take an Election Day selfie?
Oh.
That's been the question of the week.
It has been.
The question began because
Justin Timberlake did it.
And as usual, all news begins with NSYNC. Justin Timberlake published a ballot selfie after voting in Tennessee. Apparently, he wasn't aware that that is a misdemeanor crime in Tennessee. Yeah.
Punishable by jail time.
Yeah. He is not being investigated or charged because that's what the kids are doing right now, you guys.
Also, and he's a celebrity, so he's above the law.
Exactly, yeah. He's a white male celebrity, too, so they don't even need to make an example of him.
No.
No one would get it. There were judges in Florida and, New York and California on Thursday that refused to allow them according to existing law. Uh-huh. I think the California legislature has since passed a law that you can take a ballot selfie, but it's not going to go into effect until after Election Day. So we're in a bit of a legal gray area right now in California.
Right, because who has laws about selfies? Like, I mean, the selfie phenomenon is... Right, exactly.
What they have laws about is they have laws from like 100 years ago that are about not sort of like selling your vote. That relate to not being able to take pictures of your vote because the technology at the time would have made that a very different circumstance.
Sure.
There was not a time when we were documenting our everyday lives.
Right.
And I think they wanted to make sure people weren't selling or trading their votes. So taking a picture of your vote, as is, people are trading votes. They're not selling them here, but they are, right. There are people trading third-party votes for Trump, for Clinton votes in a lot of states. In any case... Because there are, according to the AP, 19 states in total that, according to current law, don't allow ballot selfies. Obviously, none of them specifically don't allow ballot selfies, but they just don't allow you to take photographs of your ballot.
Right. California, you can't.
California, you can't, but it's a gray area because you're going to be able to soon. So,
I've been seeing a lot of people do it. But I've been seeing a lot of people, I think they're just marking on their...
Their
mail-in ballot, because that is not actually also, official, though, because, like, there's a separate ballot, so, like, you can...
Exactly. There's a voting guide that comes with a pre-ballot that you can fill in to take as a cheat sheet to the polls.
Right.
You are entitled to mark that and take as many pictures of it as you want.
Yeah.
But that's not your official ballot. In any case, the states where it's allowed are mostly in the north, like the far north, like Montana, North Dakota, Washington, that kind of north, and, oddly, Louisiana.
Weird.
It's not clear whether it's allowed. It's sort of unclear whether it's allowed in a lot of the middle of the country.
Midwest,
Iowa,
South,
Missouri, Arkansas, Texas, Oklahoma. And it's not allowed, but also not super clear what the limits are in a lot of the coastal region and the sort of south-south.
Yes.
The Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Carolinas, south. So we would suggest... Not doing it as a safety measure, but you can always take a picture with your I voted sticker.
Yes.
That's never been
illegal. That's more exciting anyway.
That's the thing that everyone wants to see.
Yeah.
No one cares how you voted.
Yeah.
I mean, we care.
Yeah.
We're there for you. If you have questions, tweet us. We'll tell you how to vote.
Yeah.
If you need someone to.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's not what people came to see.
Yeah.
They came to see you voting with posing with an I voted sticker, and you should do that because it's one of the most effective ways to get your friends and family to vote.
I also don't want to show my ballot selfie just because I'm not trying to spend all day Tuesday having my friends berate me for who I voted for.
So true. I don't have time or energy on a day when I have so many races to watch.
I know, exactly.
Because as we noted,
we're not
in it just for the presidential race. Yeah. We have a lot of Senate races and local races to keep up with.
Yeah.
We're going to be very busy on Tuesday.
Yeah.
We are going to hopefully... keep you informed after the fact about those races because it seems like not everyone will have time to follow all of those like we will. But we will be...
If you know of any fun parties in Los Angeles, too, by the way, tweet us.
Yeah, we'll show up.
We're in the market for a party.
Yeah, we're in the market for a party.
Yeah.
We could just watch by ourselves, but we could go to a party and entertain all of you.
That's right.
In any case, that's the news this week.
Yes. Vote!
Remember to vote.
Yeah.
Don't fuck that up. If you have... questions about where to vote, if you have questions about how to vote, if you have questions about who to vote for,
ask the internet.
Ask us, tweet us. We'll tell you what we know.
We'll help you there.
It doesn't matter what state you live in.
I've been busy at work, but I would put it on the back burner.
I would do some research on your state
to look something up for a complete stranger to tell you
that's
where to
absolutely
go vote.
True.
Yeah.
So we're here to help. The internet's here to help. Everyone's here to help. Make sure you have figured out how you're going to get to the polls ahead of time. Make sure you've figured out what time you're going to vote.
Yep.
Make sure you have planned for the fact that your state might have terrible plans that make you wait hours to vote. And make sure you stay in the line, even if it's boring.
That's right.
Bring a book.
Show them.
Bring some water.
Yes. Hydrate.
Hydrate. Especially if you live in the South or something.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know how hot it's going to be.
Yeah.
And then join us back here next week as we discuss
the celebrate
results and hopefully haven't moved to Canada.
Right. <exactly. laughs>
Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.